anyway, continuing on from last week, the image of God, the Imago Dei, again, I don't speak Latin, but that we are made in the image of God, and then when we see each other, remember we had the pictures, the logos up there, and what the brands that they represent, and how we look at Jesus, he is the image of God, and we too are created, made in that image of God. And a lot of times we don't feel that way, and we don't see others that way. So we say, Lord, we want you to change our vision, change our sight, change the way we hear, change the way when we look in the mirror, who we see. Like right now, we see in that mirror dimly. We don't maybe see the image of Jesus, the image of God within us. But the more we look, and it's not this pride thing, remember? May I decrease, Lord, that you might increase.
Yes.
You know, we could just say, all right, I'm not going to answer the way I normally would. Hold back. Wait. This year, at work, you know, we leave my location. Our crew leaves, and we go to another location to work to help them. And it's always been frustrating. I've always had this frustration. And over the years, learning to deal with my own inner frustration or anger there, it's become easier and easier to go. Still don't look forward to it. The anxiety rises up until it's there. And then this year was probably the best. I was able to spend a lot of time riding the backhoe the last 3 weeks. That was where my office was, in the cold and the rain and the warmth. But today's message is called From Damaged, Depleted, and Destroyed to Being, Has Been, and Will Be Restored. So, as human beings, we've all been damaged. You know, John Eldridge talks about the father wound, how we've all been wounded in our heart, in our spirit, that something at some point in our childhood, we may have been affected in our youth. And for some, it was greater. For some, it was not so bad. But whether it was some kind of an abuse, but we've all been damaged. We've all found our place of being depleted. Energy, financially, spiritually, all those different things where we find where we just run out. We've run out of sin. Sometimes we felt destroyed. You know, maybe we've been utterly, like we've been abandoned. We've been hurt. We've been wrongfully accused. Or we've done something and gotten caught. We destroyed ourselves and our own reputation. So I'm going to read the paragraph, it's a few more paragraphs this time. I'm getting more bold in my writing. An old dilapidated house, a neglected but otherwise classic car, an antique piece of furniture. Most people with a passing glance would write off any one of them, if not all of them. Others, owning a heart for such things, are able to see beyond the rust, the dust, the peeling paint, cracks, and holes, the missing parts and off-putting odors, to see treasure where the rest see trash, gold where others see garbage. The horse trainer Tom Smith in the film Seabiscuit said of the weak-ankled horse, "You don't throw away a whole life just because he's banged up a little." Seabiscuit is one of my favorite movies. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but that spot always gets me. I always cry when that line is read. You don't throw away a whole life just because he's banged up a little. Yeah. This man took that horse who was a little bit older, who had been abused, who had weak ankles, who was not really fit for racing at that time. But Tom Smith took that horse, the owner, the trainer, and then the young jockey that came along, and they were able to make that horse, this broken horse, into a race-winning champion. It's a great underdog story. But anyway, you don't throw away a whole life just because you banged up a little. That's how the Father sees us. We look at ourselves in the middle during a dismally desperate place and see garbage, forgetting we're the image of God. He sees gold. He sees treasure. The aforementioned house, car, or furniture need restoration. That's what the Father has waiting for you and me. Mm-hmm. He is a restoring, restorative God. So we want to look at some of these pictures here again. And I refrained from collecting a few of the pictures or posting them because they might be a little bit too traumatic for us. But we've all seen these kinds of images. This was after I think this one was the one after a hurricane.
Next?
Yeah, go to the next one. These are cars that have been restored. I couldn't find the ones of these that were the pre. But let's go to the next one. This is depleted.
Yeah.
These are. We've seen the images. If you've been in this area or you watch the news and you see when a hurricane comes through or a flood or some event happens, we see store shelves. You know, the bread, the water, and the eggs are all gone. You know, and usually the beer too. In this area. We know that. Go to the next one. So here's an old Challenger. Charger. I can't remember. Anyway. And then here's after they're restored, kind of taken in the same pose that they were in. So you see these vehicles over here up on the top, just garbage, junk. But to someone who is into cars, they look at that and go, oh, potential. Yeah, that's some beautiful rust right there. Uh-huh. And then you see the finished product. So go to the next one. Go back one second. You see up here the rag top is all destroyed eaten up. And then they got the new one down here.
Okay.
Same thing with the vinyl. You know, you can see a little bit. Go ahead. This is a locust infestation on a field. These little critters that can come in and completely, if utterly destroy a crop. And I think they got to this one to kind of save the rest. Go ahead to the next one. This was after a flood, the before and the after. And it's good to see the before. And a lot of times we see after the rebuilding. You know, some areas of our country are still rebuilding after Katrina.
Yeah.
You know, in other places. Go to the next one. This was after a tornado, I believe. And you can see, you know, the thing about tornadoes where one house can be, you know, isn't even touched. And we've seen things come through where, like, hurricanes come through and they destroy one house. You know, next. And there's another restoration. And that's a beauty right there. You know, somebody spent a lot of time and money taking that hunk of junk that anyone else would throw out. But I look at that and I go, man, that's beautiful. That is nice. That's got a lot of potential. And you can, at that point, you can say, you know what? I'm going to restore it to its original purpose, or I can make it my own. When the Lord sees us at that place, when we're at that place up above, when He sees us, He sees the potential.
Yeah.
And He can restore us. Go to the next one, and we'll stop. How many of us have ever been not in this particular kind of situation, you know, physically, but we felt that way? You go ahead and show it off. We felt that way inside in our life. Utter destruction, desolation, depletion. We've been ransacked. Things have been taken from us. We've missed opportunities. We haven't taken that step of faith. We haven't reached out. Joel chapter 2, if you've got your electronic device or your ancient
paper.
What they used to call paper. Yeah, papyrus. If you have your scroll, you can unscroll the word here. This is Joel chapter 2, and this should be a familiar. Remember the locust picture. Joel chapter 2, 25 through 27 says, "Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no other. And my people will never be put to shame." It's interesting, you know, that Joel mentions, well, the Lord through Joel mentions these different kinds of locusts. And, you know, just doing a little bit of study, I found out that there's definitely more than just one kind. And he names, he names four different ones here. And they all do something different, but when they come in together, they can totally destroy a crop. Depleted. Desolate. But the Lord here is promising to make up what the enemy has stolen, what the locusts have eaten, what has been taken away from us, what we've let go. It may or may not be in the here and now. Remember, we're in the middle of the now and the not yet. We meet this place in the middle where Jesus is, where God's kingdom is. Here we still see Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. But we also see the Holy Spirit. And we're in the middle of the now and the not yet. We have to be able to see ahead. Restore means to bring back. It means to bring back a previous right, a practice, custom, or situation. It means to reinstate. Here's some synonyms. To reinstate, put back, replace, reinstitute, reinstall. There have been people who maybe have fallen from grace, and they feel, you know what, I could never do this again. I could never be back in that place. And the Lord comes along and reinstalls them.
Yeah.
To use them again. To return. To return to the former condition, like those vehicles. You know, how many times, you know, we've kind of let houses go at times, you know, sometimes because of credit rating and not being able to get into the house, but sometimes because I defer to my wife who says, we're not doing that, no way. And, you know, you go in and it's a HUD home and it's been like, oh my gosh, there's, you can see the crawl space underneath, you know, it needs a new floor, it needs new joists, it needs, you know, you got to get rid of the floor heaters and put in a, you know, HVAC. It doesn't just need plumbing, it needs plumbing and fixtures and everything. And it's like, and I look at it and I go, oh yeah. You know, I feel like Tim Allen on the old Home Improvement show. It's like, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. I'm no Larry Poole, but I can do this. And, but
even Larry Poole knows he can't do that.
Yeah, there's a man's got to know his limitations. To repair or renovate a building, you know, to bring it back. I said earlier that God is a restorative God, and that means that He has that ability. He has the ability to restore us to health. And we have seen that in our small body here. We've seen the Lord heal and remove cancer. Not just through surgery, but through prayer.
Yep.
Miracles. I've shared it before. Tammy and I witnessed and saw through the x-rays a little baby girl born without a brain, essentially. And I remember when Carlos stood up in front of the church in Las Vegas and said, God grew my baby a brain.
Oh, my.
And this little girl grew up, I think she's got a master's degree now. You know, it's like, holy mackerel. I mean, what God can do. He restores. He restores. Let's go to Amos chapter 9. Yeah. We're going to look at Amos, but not Andy, because that's not right.
Showing your age, though.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not showing my age. I grew up. With access to the Chicago Public Library, and they had recordings of all of the old radio shows, and I was such a nerd that I would take them home and transfer them from my vinyl. You guys know what vinyl is? I would transfer them home. Well, yeah, if you're a hipster, you know what vinyl is. Yeah, man, it sounds better, you know. So we were in a secondhand store about 2 months ago, and maybe 3 months ago, and saw this young fella, probably in his late teens, very early 20s, and he was holding up some of these albums, and he was looking at one particular album, and I said, hey, man, I got that when it first came out. It is awesome. You're going to love it when the needle hits that vinyl. Make sure you got that stereo up. And I was going, yeah, that's good, that's good. You know, eh, that's not their best work, but you'll like it, whatever. Anyway, I had access to a lot of the old radio shows. So, Amos chapter 9, in verse 14. Also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. God made a promise to restore Israel, to take them from when they were in captivity and the city was destroyed. You know, I remember Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And he, all these times that Israel, Judah, was ransacked, destroyed, invaded, the times when the people of Israel were taken and made into slavery, they were made slaves. He says they're going to rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. Kind of like the cities and the towns that we see devastated by hurricanes and floods and tornadoes, earthquakes, where people come in and it's like, oh no, we're not moving, we're going to rebuild. And they do. And then they hang around and wait, and sometimes it happens again. But they continue to rebuild. They're tenacious. Talking with a friend about this floodplain in India, and every so many years there's this massive flood, and I think he said thousands of people are killed in this flood. And I'm like, why don't they move? You know? And because they're so poor, and because the caste system is still in place there, they can't move. They're withheld. They're unable to get out of that place. So, but he says, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine. So there's this place of provision. That which the enemy has stolen, the Lord is going to replace. There's going to be a restoration. Like the car, the old hunk of junk made into gold. In Hosea chapter 6, this is one of those hard chapters, because God takes this man, this prophet, and he tells him to marry a certain woman. And this woman represents Israel, and she's unfaithful. He brings her back. She's unfaithful. He has to buy her back. And I don't know how many times it happens, if it's just twice. Didn't go back and look at that. But that's what the Lord does for us. When we, those times where we just kind of turn to the other side, and we're not quite walking away, but we know we're not walking in Him, He brings us back. Hosea 6, verses 1 and 2 says, come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. The Lord wounds us. It says in the Proverbs that the kisses of an enemy are profuse, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. And God, definitely, Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And He will wound us. He will break our hearts, the heart of stone, and pour His water, His oil on them, and soften them up and put them back together. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. Though we've been wounded, though we've been torn, He restores us. He binds up our wounds. And He restores them. Back in 08, when I slipped in the mud and my ankle twisted and I broke the bone in my leg, and I laid there for about 15 minutes before any of my coworkers believed another coworker that I was actually wounded in the middle of this pathway, because I play a lot of practical jokes. And then I use my supervisor's phone to call Tammy, and she's like, Yeah, right. Let me talk to Ron. And no, really, the ambulance is here. He's getting ready to be taken to the hospital. She didn't believe me. Can you believe that? Can
yes.
you believe? So, but
it's not
they
that
say
have, it's not that you ever kid anybody.
No, it's not that I don't tell stories. We've heard that when a bone is broken and it heals, it's stronger, right? I mean, that's what we've been told. And I believe it. Yeah. Because the way the bone comes back together, it rebuilds itself. God has designed us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
How our body can rebuild itself.
Yes.
Over and over. I can't remember how many times the cells in the human body are replenished over our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Just it's continually happening until we take that last breath that you have. You can reinstate us. You can reinstall. You can fill our storehouse. Not that we can be hoarders, but that we can have that and then be able to give some of it away to those around us. Lord, wherever we are right now, this small gathering of people, would you restore souls this morning? You are the lover of our soul. Not the lover of our body, our mind, but our soul, who we are inside, who we are, the person when we lay down our head on the pillow, everything that we are, the joy and the sorrow, the confidence and the shame, everything that we are, would you restore our soul? Wherever each one of us are, Lord, if there has been devastation, destruction, depletion, would you restore? Would you make a way where there seems to be no way? Lord, I just single out Gregory and just pray that you would bring restoration.
Yes.
That you would make again, remake a marriage, rebuild a relationship. Because you are the only one. Gregory looks to you and serves you, and we thank you for him. Would you give him strength and courage to keep moving forward? Would you make a way where there seems to be a way? We continue to pray for you. We continue to lift you up to you and just pray for healing. Healing of the wound. You restore within her everything that the enemy has taken away. I thank you so much for that word from Robbie Dawkins, the work that is being done in Muslim countries. Would you continue to protect and provide for what they're doing? So, Holy Spirit, come. May we walk with you today. May we continue to grow, to be changed moment by moment. Though we see in a mirror dimly, may we begin to see more and more the image of God in ourselves and in one another and people we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
So...